You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Shaka Hislop, Stevie Nicol and Kay Murray here in the studio. We will start with the Europa League because Bayer Leverkusen remain unbeaten. It was a dramatic ending in their game against Karabakh. It looked as though they were going out and they were going to suffer their first defeat of the season after Subia put Karabakh ahead and then they had a man sent off after a VAR check. Karabakh then went ahead to score a second goal through Janinho, but then Bayer Leverkusen fighting spirit kicked in. Jeremy Frimpong got them back into it, and then Patrick Schick scored twice in the 93rd and 97th minute to send Leverkusen through to the next round. The Xabi Alonso effect continues. They remain unbeaten in all competitions this season. That is 37 games, 32 wins and 5 draws and 0 losses in all that time. Let's welcome in Luis Garcia, who is watching this game as well. Wow, Luis, what an ending that was for Xabi Alonso's men.
Yes, it was a fantastic and exciting end of the game. Fantastic for Xabi Alonso's team that he looks so confident. He looks so calm when they finish. I've seen it sometimes running through the line to try to celebrate it. But today, I think it was more focused and concentrated about what the things were so wrong in those first 45 minutes and a little bit in the second half, because this Leverkusen, well, actually this Karabakh, they put a lot of problems on against Leverkusen. They show that a very dynamic team with a lot of and good transition going forward can put in a big trouble to the defense of Leverkusen. But in the end, after that 16 minutes red card that I think is a little bit harsh, I think that with that yellow, it was more than enough. I think the change just changed at all. Leverkusen was dominating, controlling the game, and it was about the end when Patrick scored that third goal. But that I think that for Leverkusen deserved, because they did a fantastic second half with Grimaldo on the left side. That for me, I think it was the man of the match in those last 20 minutes. Fantastic result once again, 37 wins, and I think that I'm beating the run. So I think fantastic for Xabi and his goals and aims that they got for this season.
We have seen that fighting spirit from them. We've seen them come back, Shaka, but we've also seen a couple of times this season where luck has played its part. Did they get lucky with that red card here?
I thought so. And again, Steve and I were in a little bit of disagreement. I thought it was yellow. Saying that, before this, Frimpong goes down in the box for, again, what debatably was a penalty. This time around, referee has a look. His initial reaction is yellow. He sees Xabi Alonso's own reaction. I just wonder if that man coming around covering is enough to avert the red card. And that for me is why it's on the fence. It clearly changes the game, but
Frimpong's pace, there's no way the guy in the middle's getting over. When Frimpong gets pulled, he's 20 yards that way over there. If Frimpong doesn't get pulled, Frimpong is on one-on-one with a goalkeeper. It might be at an angle, but he's one-on-one with a goalkeeper. And so it's a red card. And it's avoidable. It really annoyed me when the defender was coming off as if he'd been hard done by. He made a complete and utter mess the first time because he should have cut it out. And then he pulls him down. And then he's got the cheek to going off thinking he's the one that's been hard done by. No, absolutely. He's hung his pals out to dry is what he's done. Because that without that, even though they went on and scored another, it's a different ball game with 11 men to 10 men.
It's really quite incredible, though, Luis, what we are seeing from Xabi Alonso's team this season with Bayer Leverkusen in all of these competitions to be unbeaten. I mean, we know that he obviously always had what it took to be a manager, but could anybody have expected this?
I'm not sure if anybody was expecting. We knew that he was a very good manager. We knew that he was doing a great job back when he was at Real Sociedad, back when he was at the Academy of Real Madrid. And when he arrived to Leverkusen, we saw that transition, that fantastic change of Leverkusen to arrive almost to, well, arriving to European competition for this season. But what he has done from the beginning until right now is really remarkable. We have to give a lot of credit to him because he has managed, he has found the right players in the right spot. He has given an identity to this team that it was a little bit lost from many, many years. And now we are talking about a team that is going ahead in the quarterfinals from the Europa League, but also dominating the Bundesliga, something that I think that no one was expecting at all, to taking the trophy by many points, because I think right now it's 10 points ahead of Bayern Munich, to a big and mighty Bayern Munich. So I think incredible what he has done. I don't know if in the end it will be 2-1 trophy or not a trophy, but it doesn't matter. I think that we have to give a lot of credit to Xavi and what he has done so far.
It looks like they're going to be invincible at this stage this season because it just doesn't look like they're going to lose, because even when it's going against them, Stevie, it's almost as if they themselves don't believe they can lose.
And that's where it starts. You know, it starts with belief, because if you don't have that, it doesn't matter how good you are. But they've got belief, but they've also got a system of playing and a way of playing that everybody understands, everybody knows. It's all about the ball moving quickly. It's all about the movement off the ball. And then if you add on the top of that ability, those three things put together is what you're seeing from Leverkusen this season. But it all starts with that main point that you started with, belief. But if you don't believe, it ain't going to happen.
So how's he doing what he's doing in making sure that every player feels this value, that when they're coming on the pitch, they're contributing?
It's because he's a good man manager. You know, that doesn't happen unless you can man manage your players. And in a situation like this, it is about the guys who don't normally start. You know, to have a guy like Schick to come on and score goals like that, you lose a Boniface and you can have a Schick. But obviously having Schick, it's no good having Schick who's sat on the bench with a face stripping him, complaining about not playing. And that comes down to man management. And it's not just Schick, there's two or three others as well. It shows you that not only can Alonso set a team up, not only can he make them believe, but he's also a great man manager. I mean, is there anything this guy can't do, it seems like?
Okay. One of the things that I'd like to point out, though, while we talk about Leverkusen and these late equalisers, as it was in the first leg, or equaliser and winner in this one, and we see it time and time again, as you mentioned, Kay, during the course of the season. And Steve is talking about a team with a system of play and a belief. If you look at both the second and third goals in tonight's game, look at how Leverkusen moves the ball from one side to the next and back again, looking for the right opportunity to put the ball in. And again, this is in the 93rd and 97th minute, where most teams, they're just launching it into the box as soon as they get it. As soon as they get possession, they just launch it in the box and hoping it falls kindly. But Leverkusen aren't. Leverkusen are moving the ball around, stretching those defences from side to side and looking for the right opportunity to bring it into, to deliver it into the box, to find somebody on the end of it. Today, it was Patrick Schick. And that speaks to, it's not just luck. I'll stand by the fact that every single team that's won any trophy at all has had to rely on lady luck at some point. But it's so much more than that for Bayer Leverkusen.
So how many trophies do they finish this season with? Because they're still in the Pokal, they're obviously still in the Europa League, and they're riding high in the Bundesliga right now, Bundesliga Shaq.
I'll go right down the middle, two. I think they win the Bundesliga, and then you take one of the remaining two of the cups.
OK. Well, yes, Bundesliga will be coming up with Leverkusen to see in all their glory, remaining unbeaten to this stage right now. And they will be back in action against Freiburg on Sunday. Borussia Dortmund will also be playing that same day against Eintracht Frankfurt. Saturday brings us Darmstadt against Bayern Munich. Take your pick. Every single game is available on ESPN+. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Liverpool were already leading 5-1 on aggregate against Sparta Prague, but by the 14th minute of the second leg, they were 4-0 up. And so you can imagine how things turn out. It finished 6-1 on the night against Sparta Prague, Liverpool advancing 11-2 on aggregate to the quarterfinals. Obviously, Luis Garcia has been watching this with us as well. But Stevie, I did want to start with you. Obviously, it's a big win for them. They came into it with a big lead as well. Because of that, were you surprised to see such a strong lineup from Klopp tonight?
I was a little, but at the same time, I mean, even the fact that they brought Van Dijk on for the last 15, 20 minutes, in some ways, I guess it's smart. He's keeping everybody ticking over. Everybody's getting a decent shift without overdoing it. And it's way better than having to turn up tomorrow for training and have to train for 40 minutes or whatever. So the fact that he's doing that and the fact that they score so many goals early on means that he can just take them off when he's ready and get five more on. So I guess it's just smart. You're keeping everybody ticking over, get the blood flowing, don't need to bother too much with training. You can spend your time on the stuff that players don't like, you know, videos and doing set pieces and concentrating on that, and then you don't have to get them on their feet and running around.
What does the other former Liverpool man, Luis Garcia, think? Smart from Klopp tonight?
Yeah, once again, I think, and he mentioned it not long ago, that when he throw the young players into the field in a game like this one, it doesn't matter if you're going through or if you got an easy score in your advantage. You have to think about giving the chance to them to enjoy. If you throw all of them together, they're going to get lost at some point. Anfield is a very important crowd. You play against a team that is playing to win, and they can be in a moment of a struggle. And I think that having that balance between young players and players from the first team is the way that they can enjoy it. They can feel comfortable, confident, and they can prove their value to the team. And as you can see, halftime, he changed it. He brought a couple more youngsters, but also he brought Chimika, he brought Elliot, that have already a good number of games for Liverpool. Later on, it was Van Dijk. So in the end, you try to keep the balance. And Steve just mentioned it, breathing up the competition. You want to keep the momentum. The body of these players, they are like machines. They know that they're going to play every 3 days. So that body is ready to challenge, to deliver a practice. And it's better to get into involved and to have a one-on-one on a game than going to the training and just start running or just make a few exercises. So I think that once again, it's my managing, giving opportunity to everyone and keeping the tempo of the games.
Before we throw ahead to what's coming up for Liverpool now, Shaka, February 29th, Sparta Prague were ninth on your power rankings. Mm-hmm. Did you curse them?
Kind of looked like that. No. they were flat. I'm trying to remember who it is they had in the previous round, but they were flying and all of a sudden, goodness me, it couldn't be any worse. I thought as bad as today was, first leg at home was equally just almost comical in how poor they were.
Have you been in a game like this yourself where it's just completely one-sided very early on?
No, not this one-sided, not this early on. I mean, I've been on the wrong end of a couple of results, on the right end of a couple of results, but not, well, 10 minutes in, you're three up, 14 minutes in, you're four up. No, I've never seen anything like it.
On both sides of it, Stevie, have you been involved, whether you're down a lot by that point or up a lot by that point?
I remember being down five at half-time against Sheffield Wednesday against Blackburn. Not fun. It's a long night.
Where's your head at when you come out for the second half?
Well, you're looking at the clock. What's the clock? Would you go like that? Blow your whistle, get us up.
What about you, Louise?
As well, I was on a 4-0 first 45 minutes, Barcelona against Malaga. We were beating 5-0 overall and after 90 minutes. And yeah, it wasn't a fun night. Actually, it was a turning point for Barcelona. That was the last game in the first half of the season. We never lost a game in the second part of the season.
Now, it's either because it was so traumatic for you all that you remember the bad times, but I actually thought you were all better than this, and you would have been telling me stories from the other side that you're all flying and the other teams didn't know how to come back against it.
Mm-hmm.
But no. All right, we want to take a look at Liverpool's schedule for what's ahead, because obviously this is a great result for them. As you say, players are going to get the chance to rest now. But when you actually look at what their possible schedule could be if they do remain in all the competitions that they're left in, we're looking at possibly 18 games remaining in 68 days, Stevie, which is roughly a game every 3 days. I mean, it makes you tired just looking at that.
My first reaction is too many. Too many. If they had everybody to choose from, you might be able to do it in a stretch. But the problem you're going to have is the closer it gets to the end of the Premier League and the closer you get to the end of the Champions League and then you've got the FA Cup, then being able to make four and five changes every time you go on the field becomes a lot more difficult, because now you have to win. You get to a period in the season where you must win, and so you have to put your best team on the field. And so it's easy peasy for us to sit here and go, well, you can make five changes, but if you want to win all the tournaments, you can't afford to do that. The problem with that is fatigue, and you cannot expect 11 players to play that amount of games and that amount of days and win three trophies. So the tough bit is going to be Klopp selecting when and who to give a rest to and who to play and who not to play.
And which competition to prioritise? Which competition would you prioritise?
Well, the Premier League has to be the number one priority.
Let's put the Premier League aside.
Then it has to be Champions League. And then it's FA Cup.
Liverpool are in Champions League.
Hey?
Europa League.
I beg your pardon.
Sorry, Steve.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. You know, I've done that all year.
Fine.
Every time I've looked up the fixtures, I keep looking.
It's a champions mentality, Stevie, and we love you
yeah.
for it.
Like, no offence, the FA Cup comes before the Europa League. Absolutely. And this result here is one of the reasons why. You get this late in stages in a European tournament, and you win, what was it, 11-2 on aggregate? Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, how did you qualify for the Europa League? Well, we were fifth in the league. I mean, it's hardly mouth-watering. Absolutely, Premier League and FA Cup.
It's all right, you didn't even know they were in the Europa League anyway. Louise.
Oh, there you go.
Which would you prioritise, the FA Cup or the Europa League?
I'm not used to Europa League, you know, so it's normal that our head goes straight away to Champions League. And I think that I understand when you're English player, UK player, that feeling to knowing what it means, the FA Cup, from a foreigner that we are looking from far away. I think that we prioritize sometimes the Europa League ahead of the cup that we got in the domestic leagues or in the country. But I've seen what it means, the FA Cup in England, and I know that everyone will love to put in front FA Cup if they have the chance of winning it ahead of the Europa League. So I will go as well with Premier League and FA Cup.
Luis, as a player, when you're in your prime, how hard is it to be playing so often like that and to keep getting up for each game if they are coming as thick and fast as that? We spoke to Stevie even before the show, and he was talking about in 1989 when they had just a big bulk of games and how at the end of it, they were absolutely flat out, felt like they couldn't even lift their legs anymore.
Yeah, it's true, but honestly, I love that, because there is no way, no time for training. There is no time for thinking. You always have another game where you have to focus. So I used to love it, and to be honest, Back then, we didn't have issue that we were in three different competitions, played international breaks, and they were also involved. But we loved it, and we didn't want it back then, the rotation. And Rafa Benitez was one of the first managers to start the rotation, and there was always a lot of arguments with him and a lot of people that wasn't happy because of that kind of rotation. After we understood that there was no chance that, because I think it was 2006, we were having so many injuries, and then people understood that it was not possible to play every single game. But definitely, I think that from the point of view of the player, we love it because we are ready to play every single day. So that's the most important games, competition.
See, you got to remember that the rotation is the important thing. And every single player, as Luis is saying, would rather play every 3 days instead of training. You'd rather play games. But the problem is the fatigue. It's OK when you're rotating. And it's OK when you've got five subs. We had two subs. That was it. And so there was no such thing as rotation. And as much as we love playing games and love playing every 3 days, and we understood that if you play for Liverpool or any of the top teams around the world, you're playing sometimes every 3 days. And yes, we loved it. But there comes a point where, whether you love it or not, your legs don't work as the way they used to. And the fatigue, when it gets you, there is nothing you can do about it. As much as your head wants to, as much as your heart's pounding and you want to do better, see, when those legs can't carry you anymore, you're done.
It's then that you wish you were a goalkeeper.
What?
Hardest
job on the park.
Ever wish it would be a goalkeeper.
Let me ask you, because when I mentioned that, I'd like to know what prioritising Liverpool should do. You were like, oh, that's a good question, that. So what is your answer to FA Cup or Europa League?
Well, I think the beauty of the Europa League is that if you win it, you qualify for the Champions League next season, which is the holy grail for most football clubs. But if you're a Liverpool and you're sitting comfortably in the top four in your domestic league, and it looks like you're going to qualify for the Champions League all the same, I totally understand the answer, FA Cup, to prioritise the FA Cup over the Europa League. Were you outside of the top four? If you're sitting sixth or seventh, what would be the answer then? Would the Europa League take on a greater significance? And I think that's one of the challenges and Liverpool doesn't have to face right now. But that many clubs do.
Okay. Well, Liverpool have got Manchester United next.
Oh, like easy
Stevie's
one.
Going to be able to get up for that. It is FA Cup action coming off, and you can see it all this weekend on ESPN Plus. FA Cup quarter-final schedule looks like this: Wolves against Coventry and Man City against Newcastle on Saturday, and on Sunday it is Chelsea against Leicester and Manchester United against Liverpool. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Just taking a look at the odds to win the Champions League now that we know the last eight that are still in it. It is Manchester City, still the favourites right now, and Real Madrid and Arsenal are level behind them. You may remember that on yesterday's show we asked Gabriele Marcotti to give us his dream draw, and he gave us that. So we'll be getting to that at some point as well. But this is how things are looking right now when it comes to the Champions League. Now, There's something I wanted to ask you guys, because obviously when it comes to... Oh, actually, you know what? We're going to go with Gab's dream draw now. All right, so this is Gab's dream draw that...
I like that draw.
A little bit of...
Hold on. Whoa.
Disagreement yesterday. Hang on. You don't like the draw. That's fine.
What's dreamy about Dortmund against Atletico?
Okay. So let's just go through this. He that was kind of his afterthought because he wanted the other three because of the storylines, right? So let's just say this is the draw that's going now. How would you think that these teams would match up?
Well, the first three are great games. First three are right, yeah. I think no question, you comfortably go for Real Madrid over PSG. Bayern-Barca is a tough one. Because you could argue that you don't know what you're getting from either of them. Man City-Arsenal would be a right ding-dong. And then who's bothered about the last one? Unless you're German or Spanish.
OK. Any thoughts? You like it, right?
I like the draw. And I get what Stevie's saying, but Dortmund and who's it? Atleti have to play somebody.
There you go. Who is it?
They have to play somebody. And I'm not a huge fan of two teams from the same country playing against each other, even though he has City Arsenal. I understand his reasoning. Stevie, when he was kind of throwing names around, a lot of them were, you know, two La Liga teams and then two German teams. I'd prefer to see it mixed up a little bit more. So if you are trying to mix up those countries, you inevitably end up with Dortmund and Atleti and having to play somebody. So I'm okay with it.
I'm not going to make Louise pick anything from Gab's draw. Louise, what's a matchup you'd really like to see in this next round?
No, actually, I love the matches. I think that the City against Arsenal is a good draw to see them once again. They're going to play not long in the Premier League to see how they manage one to each other. Fantastic one. And the one from Bayern against Barcelona, I think, is very exciting because we all know what happened with Barcelona not long ago. So that match could be a fantastic one. I want to see Atletico and Madrid play against Dortmund. That could be great. That means that the three Spanish teams, they have the chance to go through and it will be fantastic for La Liga and, of course, for other Spanish players involved. So, yeah, I like what Gav's just done and let's see how it goes tomorrow. But they are going to be fantastic game because all the teams have done a good job this season.
So I did allude to the fact that there would be a confidence meter between you guys. But we're taking Man City out of the equation because they're favourites. And we're taking Borussia Dortmund out of the equation because they're the longest shots. So with what's in between, we asked you guys which team you were most confident with in this what's left of the Champions League. Stevie goes for Real Madrid, Xhaka goes for Arsenal, Luis Garcia also goes for Real Madrid. And which team you'd most like to face of who's left? Stevie goes for Atleti and Xhaka and Luis both go for PSG right now. Okay, Xhaka, I want to know why you're most confident in Arsenal, especially with what we saw against Porto.
I think right now, Arsenal are playing the best football certainly in the Premier League, and you can make that argument around the Champions League. And I think have as balanced a team as there is. My one concern around Arsenal is their lack of experience deep in this competition, certainly lack of recent experience deep in this competition, whereas you contrast that with a Real Madrid, who, regardless of what happens, regardless of how they're playing or how they're faring domestically, the Champions League, they've somehow come to life. And that's a different side to a different club that I'd like to see from Arsenal. But right now, pound for pound, player for player, and the style of game, I think Arsenal are as good as any.
Stevie, why aren't you as sold on Arsenal? Why are you not most confident in them?
I actually went for Real Madrid because of the experience factor. You know, Shaq is talking about Arsenal, the experience factor. We saw last year in the Premier League the way they fell off at the end. A lot of it was to do with Saliba being injured, but it was also to do with a lack of experience. And I'd have to think that would come into play again this season in the Champions League. Whereas if you look for experience, oh my goodness, Real Madrid, big time.
All right. Let's get to Louise then. So when it comes to your picks, Louise, obviously, the team that you're most confident in, it must have been a little bit difficult for you to pick Real Madrid.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest, and there's a misunderstanding in between me picking Real Madrid or what really I wanted to pick. I said that Manchester City was my first option, and the second one would be Real Madrid. Why Real Madrid? Because, yeah, it's very difficult for me to say this, but I think because of the background, yes, Steve just mentioned and explained it very well, the history, how they are arriving, they are going to have, they have actually a big gap between them and the second team in La Liga, so they can rotate better, they can focus on the Champions League, and a team like this, knowing and the experience that they have of the competition, I think that they are going to be one of the most important, if not the most important in the competition, the most favorite. But the way that they are arriving right now, for me, I think the Manchester City is the big favorite to win the trophy.
Do you want to change your mind on Arsenal?
No.
These guys and the arguments that they've made?
They're good arguments, but not enough to...
But you're not changing your mind?
Not yet.
Changing your mind on what they're saying? All right, then. Let's get to Stevie's favourite team to face of who's left. Atleti.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Yeah. They've got pedigree in the Champions League in terms of going far.
Yeah, when was the last time they got to the final?
They got to the final in 2016.
Oh, there you go. What's that, 8 years?
And 2014.
When last did Dortmund get to the final?
Tell you what. This isn't... I'll tell you what, straight off the bat, right? All these teams we were talking about, not one of them is a one-man band. Because that's what Atleti are. You take Griezmann out of that team, I'll tell you what are you left with? Let's be honest. Because without Griezmann, what do they do going forward? Absolutely nothing. And the fact that they were 2-0 down in aggregate at one stage to Inter, I was shocked that they got back in the game. But guess what? It was only because of Griezmann. Now, I guess the argument you would throw back at me as well, if Griezmann's playing, then they are a different team. But let's be honest. This team were used to be the ultimate spoilers. They can't keep a clean sheet to save their life. They can't. You're not going to give Real Madrid, or Man City, or Arsenal, or maybe even a couple of the other teams, two goals of a start and come back and win on penalties. You're just not. And as I said, so, not as good defensively, and without Griezmann, I'd no idea where the chances are coming from and the goals are coming from. That's why Atletico Madrid.
Is he wrong about Atleti, Luis?
A little bit. There is something that I understand what Steve is mentioning, but I think the mentality of this thing is very strong. And when the moments arrive, the big moments, there's where the team kind of raise themselves and start believing. And one more thing, that is the atmosphere at the stadium. Playing at the Metropolitano is something very special. You can feel it when you are there, and that's something that we've seen so far this season, because it's a team very difficult to beat at the Metropolitano. So, yeah, it's not it's not the best team right now because they lack of confidence sometimes, but it's going to be a beast. It's a different beast when they have to play in the big games, and Simeone knows how to bring that momentum on the stadium, and we've seen it yesterday.
What is it like, though, for any team coming to the Metropolitano, Luis? Why is it that they are such a force to be reckoned with at their home stadium?
This is the atmosphere that they create. They thought that when they're going to change the stadium, the atmosphere was going to be different because not as many people is going to be singing. But in the end, they found that every single supporter of Atletico Madrid was getting bigger. The team was getting bigger and the support was continuing there. And right now the people is enjoying. Even though there is not the Calderon, that it was the old stadium, the atmosphere that they create this season has been amazing. And you can feel it. And one of those nights in Champions League, they are always special. And the players can feel it. When you go to play there, definitely you're going to feel the boost that they own. Fans made for the players. So I think it's going to be very difficult for an opponent team to arrive there and do good.
Xhaka, am I right in thinking that you originally had Atleti as your most favoured to face and you changed it?
I put Atleti down kind of my initial reaction, but the more thought about it, I'd prefer to face either Dortmund or PSG.
Right, and obviously we took Dortmund out.
I took Dortmund out. And the reason is, this PSG team, when you're talking about a one-man band, that's Kylian Mbappe and this version of PSG. It shouldn't be, but that's just how they are. And even with Kylian Mbappe, domestically, I think they've drawn three of the last four. The game against Nice yesterday aside, it just is not a PSG team that fills you with any kind of confidence. If Kylian Mbappe is at his outstanding best, they stand a chance. Anything less, I don't think PSG are that great. And at this stage of the competition, I think this is when Atleti kind of pride themselves in being the party spoiler. They're looking, mightn't be as they once did, but this is when they're at that kind of resilient best.
Well, let's hope for Stevie that Gab's dream draw is not the draw that's drawn tomorrow when we do find out who will be facing one another in the next round of the Champions League. We are down to the last stages, 8 teams left in the competition, and we'll be talking about those matchups on tomorrow's show. Be sure to join us. It's that time of the week when the algorithm comes into play.
Yes, and the algorithm had to go for all kinds of spins today thanks to Bayer Leverkusen. But we're back kind of where we started. Arsenal, top of the Premier League, you got to side with them. Liverpool are down 1 after drawing, or be with Manchester City, and Arsenal continue to fly as they have been. And then from there, it's as you would expect. I have to put PSG in just because they sit top of Liga. They threw to the last 8 of the Champions League into a down 7 after flying so high. A little bit harsh. Yes, it was penalties, but you're out. And AC Milan continue to go so well in Serie A. They're second, through in the Europa League. They all of a sudden have snuck in.
Where are Atleti?
They're not in. They're fourth in Spain. And yes, a good result against Inter, but not enough on penalties to get you in.
But they've been rotten previous to that.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool aren't top anymore either, Stevie.
But I understand what he's doing. I understand the way he's thinking.
OK.
A draw's a draw, regardless of whether it's against Man City or anybody else, and Arsenal won.
Yeah.
So Xhaka, for the second week in a row, congratulations.
I think you'll find this is about 8th week in a row, Stephen.
Well,
that's my
claim.
That's what I'm claiming.
Oh, Louise, absolutely nothing. I'm not used to these guys agreeing on the power rankings. Have you got any problems with them?
A little bit. I think that if you decided to bring PSG, it's at the top of the league, and they are in the quarterfinal of Champions League. If you bring them, they have to go ahead at least of Bayern Munich, that is far away from Leverkusen, or even Barcelona, that is dropping points and still far away from the top of La Liga. So that's my only one, because the rest of them, I think they all deserve to be there.
How can you put Bayern ahead of? How can you ask?
I'm the
ex-head of Bayern. What is he talking about?
Yeah.
Seriously.
PSG have every right to be romping away domestically, you know?
Why are Roma out of it now?
Huh?
Why have Roma dropped out?
Roma lost? What did they do on the weekend?
Well, then they've just gone through in European competition against Brighton.
When Brighton, how would that game finish? Nah, Roma out. It's a European week. The European games get bumped on quite heavily. Correct. So I'm sorry, but you know, maybe next week.
All right. Well, we're going to thank Luis Garcia so much for being with us. We're going to let him get some rest, and we'll speak to you again soon. Luis, my friend, big one coming up this weekend for him.
Uh-oh.
Atleti taking on Barca. Time, it will be Xhaka and Stevie answering your questions. You can always stay up to date with Extra Time every single day by heading over to our YouTube channel.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And that will do it for the latest edition of ESPN FC. But stick around. These two guys are going to stick around a little later to answer your questions. I've got them here extra time.
Roma drew with Fiorentina on the weekend. That's why they're out. That's what it is.
Jack has been bothered by my questioning of the power rankings today.
Oh, no, no.
Takes it very seriously, don't you?
Oh, have you noticed? A lot of science behind it.
Came in today so prepared for that. It was the first thing he said when we saw him. Got the power ranking today.
Tell you what, I wish people could have seen his face coming down the stairs when it was 2-1.
Oh, I'm going to see change, Emre.
What's happening?
All right.
He said as well, at 2-0, I'm like, no chance, that's it. Leverkusen are out. He's like, no, just leave it alone. You just wait.
Yeah.
I was like, no chance.
See,
good old Carabag.
People cover the Bundesliga every week, Shaka. Some people casually drop in when they feel like it.
And I need to talk to somebody who covers the Azerbaijani league. Yeah.
All right, first question. Was Stevie a part of the Liverpool team that won 11-0? If not, does he remember that result?
Was that Odense? Put 11-0 over two legs.
I don't know. You were there.
You were there, but were you there?
Yeah.
Mac wants to know. Is there anybody there?
No, there's not. Why are you asking? Why are you asking a question when you know the answer? That's what I don't get.
So you weren't a part
of that? I think I was at the club. I think it was 11-0 in aggregate over Odense.
Which club?
I think I played.
The nightclub.
Yeah.
It could have been the year we won it, 83-84.
Right.
I think we played Odense in the first round. I could be wrong. That's my guess, Odense.
Right.
Right.
OK. So you do remember that result, though, more or less?
A bit less.
OK. Is there a significant advantage to playing penalty shootouts at home? Both Atleti and Arsenal advanced on penalties while playing at home.
Absolutely. There's always an advantage when you're at home. And there's little things that you often can't describe, just the familiarity of your surroundings. You prefer that. Yeah, and you have your crowd behind you. You prefer that. Without question, there's a huge benefit to that. There's a huge benefit to playing the second leg at home, which, you know, I think leans into that as well.
Stevie, we all know of big game players who play a level up when the world is watching. Are there players that do the opposite? Is Lautaro Martinez one of them?
I'd have to say no, because he's got a World Cup winner's medal. I'd have to say no on him. But there are definitely players who don't answer the bell sometimes when it matters most. But I wouldn't say he's one of them. You know, he contributed, no question, to Argentina winning the World Cup, so you can't question him. Absolutely not.
How does Darwin Nunez finish the difficult chances so brilliantly and miss so many sitters? Do you remember any other strikers like him?
Ooh. Well, we covered it on the show, actually, halfway through the season, when we were talking about Luis Suarez. Luis Suarez, when he went to Liverpool, had a lot of chances. I mean, he didn't miss the type of chance that Nunez missed at Luton. But then that's a one-off. I could show you a chance at Kenny Dalglish, probably one of the best two strikers Liverpool ever had in their entire history. I could show you a chance he missed from a yard at Old Trafford, an open goal. So everybody, even the best guys, even the best players can miss what should be 100% a goal. There's not many.
But I find that a strange comparison with Luis Suarez. And while, admittedly,
when Luis Suarez came to Liverpool, he missed a lot of chances. The question over him was exactly the same things we're talking about Nunes. People hated playing against him. The centre backs hated it. He always looked to go in behind as well. His link up play was pretty good, although I wouldn't say Nunes. His link up play is particularly great. But he had everything except his goal tally wasn't quite there.
Right.
And then I would probably say either the end of his second season or the start of his third cracked it all of a sudden.
I'll take your word for it on the early Luis Suarez days. But yeah. when he did crack it, good God, he was a good player.
Aye.
I mean, he was unstoppable in so many ways.
This is a two-part question. I'll ask you the part for you, Shaka, first. So, Stevie, will you ever play or take part in a Liverpool Legends game? Shaka, will you ever take part in a Newcastle Legends game?
I will. I'm invited. Seeing that probably so long ago now that there's other keepers that played after me that would probably make more sense to have in.
You're never forgotten at Newcastle.
I didn't say I'd be forgotten.
Okay.
Just said that.
You are the mayor of Newcastle.
I think he's sort of aging out.
I've stopped playing Masters.
How many other Newcastle keepers have a key to the city?
None.
Exactly.
That I know of.
Yet.
I don't know.
And even if they get one, they won't look as good as you in the hat and the gown and everything, will they? Let's be honest.
I pull off many a hat.
Stevie?
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing at Stevie? Why are you laughing at Stevie?
How dare you?
He's getting all serious.
How dare you?
He's got his hands up, ready to answer his question.
Stevie, sir.
He's ready.
I'm offended.
Coiled and ready to spring into action.
No, because... do it, Stevie. No.
Well, if they're looking for a linesman, then, yeah.
You always say you never lose your touch, you know? I'm being serious with that.
I'm being serious. She's wiping away tears. She's laughing, wiping away tears.
You've definitely lost your stamina, but you won't have lost your touch.
How did you know I've lost my stamina? Keep digging. I can assure you I haven't lost my stamina.
What happened when you went to the athletics club even when you were a kid?
The last legend, I was my mid-40s, which is a few years ago now. I think I was like 45. It was like 2006. And I went back to Anfield and it was Liverpool. It was a rerun of the 86 Cup final between ourselves and Everton. And obviously we won the game 1-0 and it was sold out. It was fantastic. But I was never able to because I was at the Revs. Mm. And then by the time I finished at the Revs, I'd hit the 50 mark. And you can't run. You just can't run. I mean, we saw that with Jan, right? If you ever want an example of how when you hit the 50, you can't run.
Look
at Jan.
What about if it was against, like, your fellow players at your era? Would that make it?
Oh, that'd be a great game, wouldn't it? Yeah, let's watch that. Oh, we're going to go walking soccer. Everybody can walk around. Yeah, no.
Nope. All right. Start, bench or drop, Liverpool striker edition. Ooh. Fernando Torres, Luis Suarez, Michael Owen.
Ooh, I know. I'm leaving it to you.
Suarez, Torres, Owen. Suarez, longevity, no question. Torres at his peak, you could argue, was more lethal than the other two. But it didn't last that long, to be honest. You know, we're talking a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
A couple of seasons, maybe. So, yeah, I would have to go Suarez, then Torres, and then Michael Owen.
You agree, Shaka?
And I probably would go Suarez, Owen, Torres. Owen's got a lot of goals.
Play for Man United.
So that's why?
Aye. You can't do that.
Okay. I won't.
Stevie, how do you like Scotland's new national team kits that were released for Euro 2024? The light blue with purple away kit looks interesting.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I don't know if we can look. There it is, there it is.
Oh, look, I could see you all in that, Stevie.
In a Legends game for Scotland.
There you go.
Oh, that's better, right, that's better. Right,
that's a nice kit.
That first one. That could be any country. That could be anybody. It looks like Greece from here. That could be Greece.
It's an away kit. We want from an away kit.
You don't have to have a colour like that. Get similar to the home one. I like the home one.
Like Real Madrid colours the away kit. It might help. Purple and white. I am a little bit Scottish, remember? That wasn't a burn.
No, you were. You're not anymore. You've just been deported. You're deported back to Middlesbrough. Yeah, I don't mind the Scotland strip, the proper one, the home. But the away kit, no.
You're not having it?
No. Nothing Scottish about it.
All right. I think I've been sent something.
Trying to be able to play in Canada sometime next week. That's why we have... Are we talking international kits?
Oh, hang on. I've just received word, Stevie, that Liverpool beat Odense 6-0 on aggregate in the 83-84 European Cup. Liverpool's biggest margin win in Europe is an 11-0 victory over Strømsgodset.
Strømsgodset, yeah.
In the 1974-75 European Cup Winners' Cup.
Did you see her? Did I play in it?
I didn't. The person asking.
I think you did, didn't you?
I did. The person asked that.
Are you sure?
They definitely asked it in
the
exercise
question. The run you're on right now. I would have thought it was you that thought it.
You don't even know when I'm giving you a compliment.
No.
All right?
I'm not used to that.
All right. That will do it.
Get clear with a compliment in there somewhere.
He said he never loses his touch and I meant it.
Yeah, but you see that wiping away tears laughing. If you deliver it.
They were from the previous
It's like riding a bike, isn't it?
If you deliver it a little bit more, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's like riding
a bit more
bike.
Meaning. A little bit more meaning. crying.
Touch to the gods.
I better go before I get myself into more trouble. We'll see you tomorrow for good another
idea.
Edition.
That's the best idea you've ever.